All right. So let's go through some of the things here in the Gemara on Chavav. We'll see how far we get. So the Gemara starts at the beginning with once again going back to Osig Mitzvah. I said, Benji, we're going to be done with Osig Mitzvah, so it's partially true. First, a little bit of a new point, although it is some new from last time. Review from a little bit some things that we saw. So we have this Gemara, Amar Chanani ben Akavia, Kosvei Svarim, Tefillin, Mezuzos, Hein v'Tagarein, v'Tagarei, Tagarein. Who are the Tagarein? What are Tagarein?
Merchants.
Rashi says they're like the middlemen. They get it from the Sofrim, they sell it to the people that need it, or you could have two middlemen. So they're all Oskin, and they're all Pater from Mitzvah, and includes also Oskin, Melech HaShamayim, anyone involved in Melech HaShamayim, which refers to who? The Gemara says, Mochrei Tcheles, they have to make the dyes for the Tcheles. So they're all Pater from Kriyat Shema, Tefillah, Utfilin. And we call Mitzvah some Mitzvah Torah, and all the Mitzvahs, as we've learned. So seemingly, there's nothing new here. Right? We know this halacha already, Oskin Mitzvah Pater, even Benji knows this halacha because we talked about it last time. We've seen this a lot of times, Oseg Mitzvah Pater Menah Mitzvah. So what exactly, what's being added here in the Gemara? What do you think? Why are we telling you just another example of Oseg Mitzvah? So the first thing to note is the Gemara says, the Kayim Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Shehar Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer Oseg Mitzvah Pater Menah Mitzvah. So this is to support the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. When you see a phrase like that, what does that tell you?
Doesn't support other ones.
Meaning there's a machlokas. Very good. So there's a machlokas, which we've learned. We saw some Rishonim who pointed out a machlokas previously. Not everyone agreed to that. But the Gemara is just reinforcing that there's a machlokas in the Gemara. As some of the Rishonim say, it's kind of just like reinforcing this is how we hold. Like, yes, we may have just seen a Gemara which may have thrown into question the whole rule of Osei Mitzvah Pater Mitzvah, but we should know we hold Osei Mitzvah Pater Mitzvah. This is how we paskin. That's number one. But have we seen Rabbi Yossi Aglili before? No?
I remember.
Have we seen Rabbi Yossi Aglili? What did Rabbi Yossi Aglili say? What was Rabbi Yossi Aglili? So.
Oh, here. It says,
Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Very good. So we saw the second source we learned, sorry Benji, to fill you in a little bit briefly. There were two sources for Oseg Mitzvah Pater Menah Mitzvah. One is a pasuk by Kriyat Shema, and the other is from the story of the Pesach Sheni. That people were tamei, they couldn't bring the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says that since we see that they became tamei, and there's no problem that they didn't do the Korban Pesach, we see from there the halach of Oseg Mitzvah. You're allowed to do one mitzvah, and even though it's going to make you forego another mitzvah. Okay? Now, the question that Gemara raised, we didn't spend so much time on it at the time, but who were these people that became Tameh? Well, the story that took place, we read Parashat Baloscha, it just says, Vahi Anashim, people. Who are these people? So we saw different opinions in the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Lili's opinion was, it was the people who carried the Aron of Yosef. So the Pesukim described in the Torah, right, Yosef's bones were carried out of Mitzrayim, right? Yosef, at the end of the Seder Reishis, tells his brothers that make sure that my bones get buried in Eretz Yisrael, and they carry them the whole way to Eretz Yisrael, and they're buried in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so that's one. And if you come in contact with a dead body, you carry the bones, you're going to become Tameh. That's one opinion. What was the next opinion? Rabbi Akiva's opinion? People who buried who? Nadav and Aviyu. What were their names? Who buried Nadav and Aviyu? Mishal and Eltzafan. Okay, Mishal and Eltzafan, they're their cousins, so they buried Nadav and Aviyu and they became Tameh. Okay, so that's another opinion. And what was the third opinion? Who was the last one?
Rabbi Yitzchak.
What was his problem with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili?
Neither of them still apply because they were standing there for a long time.
They didn't apply?
Yeah,
you say a little sharper?
They weren't carrying them.
They could have become tar, right? As he says, they could have become tar. Fine. Okay. But let's go in the world of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva for a second. What's that machlokas about? Just a metzias? Just a habitude of disagreement? What's the pshat on the pasuk? What difference is there between the people who carried the Aron of Yosef and Mishal of Eltzafan? This would be a sharp point if you picked up on it. Anybody remember the psukim that describe in Mishal of Eltzafan? Who tells Mishal of Eltzafan to go take out Nadav and Aviyu? Not even aware. Who am I know? So I think we have a Yikra, we have a Tanakh or something here. Here's a Tigun. So I think the Pesukim describe Shmini, right? Back in Shmini.
Yeah.
So in Shmini. What does it say? Here. Vayikra Moshe el Mishael ve'el Tzafan b'nei Uziel doda Aharon v'yam alhem kirvu, okay, take them out. Carry them out. So Moshe calls Mishael ve'el Tzafan and he says, carry out the body. Who carried the body? Who carried the bones of Yosef? Or who?
Moshe
carried, so some say Moshe, I mean Moshe carried out. Probably in this context, it's not Moshe. The point is, it's not specific who it is. So it says one of the Achronim Birchas Avram, a favorite of mine, he's still alive. He taught in Rosh Shlomo Zalman's yeshiva for many years in Kol Torah. So the Birchas Avram points out that one could say, and he develops this in other places, that one could argue that Osek B'Mitzvah is only when you, the obligation is on you to do the mitzvah. In other words, if, let's say, going back to the main mitzvah, if your relative, we spoke about this, if your relative dies, that's your obligation to take care of the burial. That's a special mitzvah on you, right? Or you are giving, you are davening, if you have an obligation to daven, then you're pater for giving tzedakah, which we spoke about a little bit. But who said, why do you have to get involved in, let's say in this case, in writing the tefillin? Let someone else write the tefillin. What's the mitzvah in writing tefillin? What's the mitzvah in writing tefillin? What's the mitzvah in selling tefillin?
Just helping people do the mitzvah.
Helping do people do mitzvah. You're not even shliach. You're just helping. You're helping someone do a mitzvah. So one might have thought that there's no mitzvah. You don't say osik b'mitzvah when you're helping someone do a mitzvah. Okay, you know, you have a mitzvah right now. Let's say you have tzedakah to give, or you have some other thing to take care of. You have a mitzvah in front of you right now. So do your mitzvah that you have to do. You don't say I'm involved in someone else helping someone else do a mitzvah. I can't do a mitzvah. Maybe I wouldn't have said that. So he says, that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Was Mishan El Tzafan, was it their mitzvah to do, to bury another Raviyu? Why not? Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them. Moshe Rabbeinu said, make sure you do this. Whoever was carrying the body of Yosef, we don't even know who was, it wasn't there. Someone else could have done it. It wasn't their mitzvah.
They were told to do it.
Who told? We don't even know that they were told to do it. Someone, maybe, I don't know. It's not clear. Suggests there's not really significance to. It's not like
Yosef has to be buried in Israel.
So okay, someone has to do it, but it's not. So someone has to write tefillin. It doesn't have to be you. Also, same thing. So that's a chiddush. Because everyone wants to say that's a chiddush here in this Gemara. Like we're going back to Rabbi Yosef Lili's opinion. We're saying here, realize Osek mitzvah applies. There's a chiddush here. It's not just when you're doing a mitzvah. It applies even when you're just helping out and doing a mitzvah. You don't have a mitzvah that's on you per se. We also apply Osek mitzvah once you get involved in that mitzvah. Or one might say a mitzvah kiyumis. Someone raised that question. If you have a mitzvah kiyumis, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. You know, you're not obligated to the mitzvah. In all those cases, we do say Osek mitzvah, pater ben mitzvah as well. So that's the Birchas Avram suggestion here. Other achronim pick up on this, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That's a little strange presentation here, but that's what he suggests. It's going back to the original sources. So that's the Machlokes of Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Kiva. Do we say Osek Mitzvah in a case where it's not your obligation? Mishael and El Tzafan, it was their obligation, so Rabbi Kiva says Osek Mitzvah. Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, now I go even further. Even the people carry the Aron of Yosef, it's not their problem. Still, Osek Mitzvah, Pater Ben Mitzvah. Okay? Fine. So that's point number one here. Continuing on with the next Gemara, which is we'll skip around for a second. So the Gemara talks about Holchei Drachim. What is it contrasted with? You're going on a derech versus you're going to do what? Holchei Mitzvah. Okay? We'll come back to Holchei Drachim. That's important to say. So Holchei Mitzvah, we may have quoted this Gemara. What does the Gemara tell the story? What do they do? Slept on the riverbank, right? Rav Chisda, and what mitzvah are they doing?
Going to
Reish Galusa. To hear Shir, go to the Rebbe, maybe Mekabal Rashi says, Hagel Pnei Reish Galusa, and the Gemara says, when was this trip taking place?
Before week of
Yontif. I don't think it's before, I think on the Yontif.
The week of Yontif,
on Chol Hamoed. Right, because remember we spoke about, I think we mentioned, the Gemara says there's a mitzvah to go see, to go learn from your Rebbe on Yontif, or on Chol Hamoed. So that's what they're going to do. So they're going to do a mitzvah, and they said they slept out on the riverbank. So, if you remember, we mentioned the very beginning of the summer, we talked about this Gemara, because this Gemara it supported, like Tosos mentioned, pointed, based on, and the Mishnah sounds like, that Osek B'mitzvah applies. You're traveling. When are you doing your traveling?
During the day.
And when do you, when you rest at night, do you have to sleep in the sukkah at night? What's going to say? No, you don't have to sleep in the sukkah at night. You're not doing any mitzvah. You're not even traveling.
Bein
b'yom b'yalayla. I mean, what you, if you're Osek, holche mitzvah, b'yom, bein b'yom b'yalayla, you're parted from the sukkah. So we mentioned, let's just see here that the machlokas that we mentioned then and we discussed back on Chavei actually plays itself out here once again on Chavav, if you notice that. So Rashi, has Rashi described the holy mitzvah? Why don't they have to sleep in the second night?
You're
involved, okay? It's Rashi says. And how did the Hagos Asher, the Ritva, if you saw them, what did they say? Anybody get to see that?
Yeah.
What did he say?
It'll help you need to sleep.
Hagos Asher, you need to sleep. It'll help you. So, the Hagos Asher says...
It's part of doing it.
Right?
Yeah, you want to sleep.
If you want to turn, if whoever has that Gemara... All right.
But, I can't find mine.
Oh, you can't find your really Gemara. Okay, fine. So the Hagos Asher, if you turn quickly to the back, the Rush... Where the Rush just quotes the Gemara, and the Hagos Asher on the side. Everybody got it? Matthew, want to read it for us?
So we're sleeping in order to do the mitzvah better the next day, and therefore it's all considered like one big.
Right. And the Ritva says also it's talking about a case where if you would spend time going to do the mitzvah, so then there's a lotion, you would be mevatel the mitzvah. Right, it says here. Kadeshi maharu lavo bokalavis on beinin shemis akvu leishe basukah shema yera lahem bitul mitzvah. If they're going to delay and go finding a sukkah, they might lose time on the trip and they're going to miss the shir the next morning. So connect this to what we spoke about. Who's following whose opinion here? Ritva and the Ravya and the Ravya and the Hagos Asher, they're easy. Whose approach are they taking? If you remember, Tosos of the Ran, back to the beginning of the Limud. They're taking Tosos approach. Very good. So taking Tosos approach. That is that Osek B'mitzvah, Pater B'mitzvah is only if you can't do both. So in other words, we're only going to say there's Osek B'mitzvah, Pater B'mitzvah if doing the second mitzvah is going to affect the first mitzvah. Right? So if they're sleeping in the sukkah, is going to make them miss it, or they're not going to have the strength to go forward. So that's when we say Osek B'mitzvah, Pater B'mitzvah. And the Ritva, in fact, explains like Tosos back on Chafei. So the Ritva is Lushitoso. And Rashi, does Rashi sound like he's saying the same thing as them? I think maybe what Rashi's getting at, if you remember for the Ran didn't say that, but how did the Ran define Osek B'mitzvah? Is it limited to doing the mitzvah, or is it broader? The Ran had said that anytime you're Osek, right, remember the Ran, how did he explain sleeping? Why is it when you're sleeping you're pater from min mitzvah? So the Ran said, because when you're sleeping, that's still considered being...
Travels
are part of the mitzvah. And I think maybe that's what Rashi's trying to get at. He's trying to explain to you why traveling is part of the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah there because you're busy, you're trying to figure out what to do. As long as you're busy and thinking about it, that's all part of the mitzvah. I think that's what Rashi's... I don't think that Rashi's trying to give you a new tour of like a chassan. I don't think that's where Rashi's going. And I think Rashi's just trying to say that since you're involved in the mitzvah, you're thinking about the mitzvah, that's all part of being Osek B'mitzvah, and therefore we can kick in the tour. Even at night. And we pointed out, I think we may have pointed out, a diak Rashi on the Mishnah does seem to say like the Ran, and that would fit nicely if Rashi was taking that approach as well. So that's seeing this machlokas play itself out once again. That's Osek B'mitzvah. So let's now, I think really can finally move on from Osek B'mitzvah, and let's move on to the Holchei Drachim for a few minutes. So the Gemara contrasts Holchei Mitzvah to Holchei Drachim, giving the implication what? Where are you traveling? What's the purpose of your travels?
Business.
Well, so no. It says Holchei, first it says Holchei Drachim is Pater, then it says Holchei Mitzvah is Pater. So that can tell you what about who's Holchei Drachim? Probably more, or not a mitzvah. I guess it could be even more, some unique mitzvah, but... The Rishonim assume that it's even less than a mitzvah. You're just going for drachim. So Natan says that it's going for business. Okay, let's hold that thought for a minute. Come back to that. So the Mishnah Berurah, I don't know if you have to see the Mishnah Berurah, he's quoting from Rishonim, the Beis Yosef, quoting from other Rishonim, that say that this idea of Holchei Drachim, right, means, so, listen, halacha l'maisa, you're on your way to Six Flags, or you're going, let's say, better, we'll make it holier. You're flying, your parents wanted you home the first days of Yontif, and now you're flying to Eretz Yisrael for Chol Moed and Simchas Torah. So you're on the plane. Okay, that might be a mitzvah, fine, let's just stop. You're going to Florida for the second days to have a nice time. So
it's a mitzvah.
Okay, fine. In a way, you are paying your own way. You just want to have a good time. You just want to have a good time. So, good. So you're flying out. And so says the Mishabura, basically, what the Gemara is saying here is that you don't have to say, oh, no, I'm not going to eat till I get there. You don't have to wait. You're on the way. You're on the flight. You're hungry on the plane. Eat on the plane. No problem. That's what Mishabura says. This is halach l'maisa. Halach l'maisa, olchei drachim, pater min ha-sukkah. You're on the way. You don't have to eat in the sukkah. Now, what's the source for this? Actually, before we get to that, the Gemara says, at night, what do you have to do? What do you want to say at night? You have to do sukkah. So there's a discussion in the Achronim, what does that mean? You've got to see the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah. There's a back and forth exactly how far do you have to go at night. L'maisa, the Mishnah Berurah says, it just means at night, if you stop somewhere, you have to make an effort to find a sukkah. You don't have to go back, or you don't have to build a sukkah. Just, you're supposed to put an effort. As opposed to during the day, you're on the plane, or let's say that's an easy one because it is possible to get a sukkah on the plane. Let's say you're driving to Six Flags. So you're driving to Six Flags. You don't have to start searching on your phone. Nowadays pop sukkahs, I don't know, but you don't have to go drive yourself nuts to find a sukkah. Holchei Drachim Pater. If you're sleeping in a motel on the way, don't just sleep in a motel. Try to find at nighttime where you don't really need to continue on your travel. Then you should make sure to find a way to find a sukkah to sleep in or to eat in at night once you stop traveling. Fine. So what's the source for this? Teishu Tein Tuduru. An important rule. The Ritva, to me, was very interesting. What is, you think, whenever you have a drasha like that, Teishu came to Duru, as the Rishonim say, so it's like a drasha, since it says Teishu, it says Duru, it says, so you know, it's got to be the same thing. So what does Ritva point out?
It's not a
diak in the words. It doesn't say anywhere in the Pesukim, Taduru. It says, Basukos Teishu, you should sit in the sukkah. So how do you know Teishu came to Duru? Says the Ritva, an interesting thing. What's the mitzvah of sukkah? So what's the hashkafa? It's very interesting. It's a halacha learned from the hashkafa of the mitzvah. What's the hashkafa of the mitzvah sukkah? You need to see the ritual. What's the hashkafa of the mitzvah? What's sukkah all about? Why are you supposed to sit in the sukkah? Okay. That's good. It's very halachic. It's true. A deeper machshava. The ritual really goes to that.
To live in the sukkah.
To go out and we're supposed to make this our new home. Leave our permanent home. Make this the sukkah our home for 7 days. That is the mitzvah. So the hashkafa of the mitzvah, yes, you're right. Strictly speaking, the kavan is supposed to be zechut yis b'chaim, and the anani hakavod and all those things. But the hashkafa of the mitzvah is that the way you're supposed to do it is make this your home for sukkahs. And says the ritual, we derive halachas from that. We have a rule that it has to be like your home. So that's bein l'kula bein l'chumra. It's the chumra that just like you sleep in your home, you got to sleep in the sukkah. Just like you eat meals in your home, you got to eat meals in the sukkah. It's also a kula. Did you ever leave your house? Did you to go somewhere and eat something on the way? All the time, right? We eat something on the way. So are you allowed? So it says the Rishonim explained. So you're allowed to leave your sukkah, go eat something on the way. And just like in your house, you wouldn't say, "Oh no, I can't eat outside my house." You would eat on the way. So too in your sukkah, you can't eat. You don't have to say, "I won't eat outside my sukkah." No, if you're on your way, you're allowed to eat. Now, would you? What's your deal on David?
Yell.
Would you ever? Is this maybe once or twice in life, but is it normal to take your sandwich from your dining room table and go sit in the middle of Yale Road, whatever street? What? I see. No, that's not normal, right? You wouldn't do that. You would do that? No. So that's not normal. So the same thing. So it's not normal. So you can't step out of your sukkah and say, "I'm eating my sukkah. You know what? I'm going to take my sandwich out to my sukkah and I'm going to sit somewhere else." You can't do that. That's not a proper way of living in your sukkah. Okay, so, some of these things are hard. Chazal or Koveya, certain, it gets very iffy to what's normal, what's not normal. Chazal or Koveya, certain things. And they were Koveya that if you're on the derech somewhere, that's for sure, normal to do that. What? So let's get, then we can get down to the nitty-gritty posting. Let's just understand the halacha, because that's the way it comes out to Teishu Tein Tuduru, is when you're going on a trip somewhere. Now, the Ramosha, before we get to the car, Ramosha has a diuk. What's the example? What's the example Rashi gives? Not to mention, Rashi, you're going out to business. If you're going on a business, for a business trip, then you're allowed to eat. Says Ramosha, maybe we only say this halacha when you're going for a real tzorech. A business, okay, you need to make a parnasa, so you go out for, that's a tzorech. But says Ramosha, you're just going for fun, you're going to Six Flags, there's no p'tur. That's what Ramosha writes in the Tshuva. What does anybody, any counters, what would anybody argue back to that?
You don't,
and that's a deal from Rashi.
You don't only leave your house for it.
So. Ah, so that's Matthew saying like Rabbi Yashiv. So Rabbi Yashiv writes, and if they put it here in the Dirshim Shabru, but I have it in the Haros on the Daf. So Rabbi Yashiv says, no, but at the end of the day, the Drush is Tejra Hidaduru. You leave your house for business, you also leave your house for pleasure sometimes. So in for both of those, we would have a tour from sitting in the Sukkah. That's what Rabbi Yashiv says. Ramosha knew about having pleasure also.
No, not against having pleasure, but there's a difference between when you're going to remove yourself from a mitzvah. Okay, if you have a real tzorah, okay, you can remove yourself from a mitzvah, but if you just have a good time, you don't need to go to Six Flags. You can just stay home and have a good time.
So that's, you're right, very good. Nathan's saying good. You're mechavin. Ramosha does use that argument. Ramosha tries to bring a proof from a Gemara that like you shouldn't find ways to get yourself out of doing a mitzvah. So not to say you're traveling to Six Flags, you're getting yourself out of doing a mitzvah. Like, why put yourself in a situation that you're not going to do a mitzvah? We generally try to put ourselves in situations where we do mitzvahs, not that we get out of doing mitzvahs. So that's what Rav Moshe says. Rav Eliyashiv addresses it. What do you think Rav Eliyashiv would say back to that? Maybe it's a good point. Rav Moshe finds him thinking, and not so. So Rav Eliyashiv says, no, it's not that you're getting out of doing, it's not that there's a mitzvah there and you're getting out of it. What? It's all part of what the mitzvah is. The part of the mitzvah is normal dwelling. And so it's normal to go out and travel even for pleasure. So you can't tell me, oh, you're doing like, you're, you know, going through a loophole to get out of the mitzvah. No, I'm living normally. There's no, we are allowed to live normally. And the mitzvah is to live normally. And so to go to Six Flags, that's a perfectly normal thing to do. Family vacation day, it's a perfectly normal thing to do. And it's not viewed as like getting a loophole out of a mitzvah. It's just, there is no mitzvah in that place. A little bit of a different. So maybe that's a halachic difference. I'm not 100% sure, but that's what the different approaches they take. So you raise some of the questions just in the Diyunim Halacha L'Maisa, the things that come up, they bring down here from various achronim about certain things. Apparently Rav Yashiv writes in a tshuva, like it's better, you know, if you can, to avoid when you go out for a tiyul to eat outside. You know, the truth is, it's, you know, I'm making kind of a big deal of this, it's not really so hard, because when you go on a tiyul, just don't have any cookies, don't have any hamotzi or mizonos. You can eat those other, at Migra Din, you're allowed to eat all the other things out of the sukkah. So it sounds like there are chronim, one could argue, yeah, Hershey Park, they have a sukkah there. So Sabolsky always says that he goes, drives his kids there, and he sits and learns in the sukkah there the whole time. Anyway, so the Sabolsky sits and learns in the sukkah there in Hershey. I've heard him say that before. But he's like, oh, it's schmack vacation. My kids went and played. I drove them. They went and played, and I sat and learned in the sukkah. That's the ideal chomoly. So it sounds like there's room to be machmir when you're going. If you're going to do something productive, there's a need to do something. Or Moshe, by the way, has a second tshuva where he says, like, let's say, he says, very interesting. He says, let's say you're on vacation somewhere, and he was asked about touring Israel, but he says really not lav dafka Israel. He said Israel for sure. There's a mitzvah to go see Eretz Yisrael, so fine. So then that would be allowed. But he said, even if you're touring another country, like this is your opportunity. You're in, I don't know, you're in Arizona for, I don't know, where do people go for sukkahs? You're in Spain. You went to Spain for sukkahs for whatever reason. You want to some, like usually Pesach when it comes up. But you're in Spain for some program on sukkahs. So Moshe says, that's a tzorech to see Spain. You're interested in seeing Spain right now. That's your one opportunity. It's not like just time you're going to like, oh, let me go have a nice time. This is your one time to go see Spain. So Moshe says, even that he would say is considered more like business. That it's more like kind of an objective need.
Your one time to see Spain.
You're there. Who travels to Spain just like that? He doesn't say your one time, but he says he distinguishes between I mean, he has three categories, right? Until he brought this up, we would have said there's two categories. It said there's mitzvah and there's personal things. And there's nothing between. Ramosha has three categories. He has mitzvah, he has what he calls a tzorech, and then tanug, just stam pleasure. So business is more like a tzorech, it's a need to do business. So if you have a trip, a vacation that gets in the category like a need, like I just need to do this, then he would say that's also patur. But just stam for fun, then no. So there's room to be machmir, basically just going for a fun time somewhere. There's room to be machmir to avoid eating hamotzi and mizonis and those things. But if you have a tzorech or certainly a mitzvah, or right, let's say hol chedrachim for a tzorech, you're going for some need to some trip, so then you're visiting your parents, even if you want to call that a mitzvah, it's a need to visit your parents, so you're allowed to eat mizonis and hamotzi on the flight or wherever you are. Interesting, you raised the question while you're driving in your car. Matthew raised that question. Or Tal, when he has raised that question. So they bring here from Rav Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman, and both of them said that within a city it's hard to say that's holchei drachim. There's certain lines Chazal drew, if you're outside on the way, so then you don't have to find a sukkah. But you're in your city, it's so easy to get to a sukkah. You know, you're in your car, just drive 10 minutes somewhere, you can't call that holchei drachim that you don't have to sit in the sukkah. And so one has to, you know, he says here, quotes from Nissan Karel, it's, you know, it depends on the situation, how far, how long you're traveling, different things. So it gets a little blurry. But certainly if you're going on a significant trip, and if there's a tzorech, there's no question you're allowed to eat outside the sukkah. Again, and it's just stam for fun, so then that would be this question. Last interesting point on this topic is, let's say you're in shul or you're in a shir and you start to fall asleep and getting sleepy. So the halacha is, we should be careful, we should be mocky about this. Halach is that you're supposed to sleep in a sukkah. And you're supposed to sleep Shinas Keva and Shinas Arayah, not supposed to sleep at all outside the sukkah. What? You didn't know that?
All sukkahs?
What?
And you're not supposed to sleep
in a sukkah. Stam. Okay, if you live in the Mesh Shinas
Arayah. All sukkahs?
Yeah. Supposed to sleep in a sukkah, all sukkahs. So, okay, sometimes it's freezing, sometimes too hot, sometimes there are bugs. The reason why you wouldn't sleep in the sukkah, and that happens sometimes.
Sammy, nice.
It's beautiful. And so Sammy Katz was saying in Beit Shemesh is a little too hot to sleep in the sukkah. It's okay, you know, if it's too hot, it's too hot. I was in a sukkah once, there were tons of mosquitoes. I'm like, okay, you can't sleep
in
the sukkah.
Florida,
it's too hot, right? It's too hot, so you can't sleep in the sukkah. And my in-laws, I never had to avoid the sukkah, because the one time this happened, it ended up raining. But sometimes there are raccoons in the area in my in-law's sukkah, and the sukkah actually doesn't close fully. Not that it was necessarily sad raccoon. So the one night I was scared it happened to rain, so it worked out okay. So there are reasons not to sleep in the sukkah, but really you're supposed to sleep in the sukkah all the time. So that's an important thing. So you're not supposed to take a nap outside the sukkah either. Unless let's say you're in your sukkah, like the whole family's hanging out, and you don't have a sukkah, so like, you're not mechuyev to, I think the post was saying, you're not mechuyev to like run around and find a neighbor's sukkah to take a nap in. You can take a nap inside. But stop. If the sukkah's empty, one should sleep in the sukkah. I do a lot of table naps on sukkahs in the sukkah. So the, but let's say you're in shul and you're like falling asleep. So what do you do? Say, so quote here from Rav Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Yashiv, he says, you gotta like do whatever you do, you gotta stay awake. You gotta stand up. If you're jumping jacks, you gotta find a way to stay awake. That's the quote here. And Rav Shlomo Zalman also, you know, if you know you always fall asleep at that shir, you can't go to the shir. Right? You know, he even says, don't get in a car if you're never gonna fall asleep. However, he quotes other that argue and said, no, if you're in shul and you fall asleep, it's teishu kein tadur, kind of what they invoke here as well. Like, sometimes it happens.
Normal, even when you live in your house, it's normal for you to fall asleep in other places.
Right, so sometimes, I mean, not to go take a nap, to actively take a nap somewhere else you don't do. But if you're doing something and you fall asleep, that's like normal. So you want to say it's part of the whole Holchei Drachim, part of the same idea that
people actively take naps on the couch in the bed. It's the house.
Okay, I mean, it's the house, but okay, again, we're trying to draw the line a little bit, like it is within the house.
Or actively take naps in
the base. Not so common. No, I'm saying if you're learning, you might actively take a nap. That happens sometimes. Fine. But,
no, it's just not
I don't know what's going on here. A little tension over here. But,
it's not called.
is you take a nap in the basement, right?
Yes.
Head down. What's it called?
Basement.
No, they call it a muckle nap.
I'll tell you why.
Because they say
there's a good story behind it.
Because they're Israelis.
Because base naps are also it's also to sleep in a basement. But in a muckle, if you're a Talmud who has a muckle, then you have a head. Then you have a head. Then you have a head.
No, listen.
Yeah. I never heard this. You can't take a
nap. If you're normal, if you're a regular, if you're regular in the basement, you're allowed to take. If you're regular in the basement, you're allowed to. No, but if you're a regular in the basement, then you can.
Yeah. No, if you're in the basement from day to night, learning.
Okay.
So that's why it's called the muckle nap. Because if you have a muckle in the basement, all
right,
then
you're trying to be cute.
It's alumnus. From the
base naps is just
all right. Shkoyach, everybody.